You know, I see so much in the body of Christ. Flesh just is really prevalent in the body of Christ. You know, I don't like to fellowship with people on a you know, day by day basis, because then I get to see what's really under the skin, and under the surface, and I really don't like what I see, because something else is being portrayed, you know, otherwise. But I would like for every one of us to be people of God, who we are one way all the time. We're not one way in the house of God, you know, we're so, you know, all this and that and the other. And then whenever you're out fellowship, and then your true colors show. This should never be. Your true color should always be the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that sink into your spirit. We are who we are. We're children of God, manifesting the light of God, portraying His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're not people that with split personalities. We walk in the Spirit. We are Spirit children. Are you listening here? And it's time we get all these little things that we have in us out of us, and let's just go on and be everything that God has called us forth to be. True children of God. That's all God's saying, so I'll be quiet. Do you really understand why God spoke that? That was God speaking up, by the way. Do you understand why God's speaking that? Because He's getting ready to drop the glory. And if you're still walking around pretending in areas of your life, you're not going to get the glory. You're just not going to get it. You have to be 100% who God has called you for it to be, and that's a child of God. You have to be 100% sold out to Him, completely abandoned to Him, and nothing else in your life matters except God. And if you walk that way, He'll put everything else in line. And you won't have to worry about anything, because He's taking care of everything. Plus, He's taking care of you. All right? I'm going to talk about the power of praise this morning, and it'll go on to, and then I'll finish it Wednesday evening. But if we would just learn how to praise, we wouldn't have split personalities. Because if we learn how to praise, then every time the enemy comes against us, we would praise. We would worship. And we would defeat the enemy. You know, the other day I was working out, Friday I was working out in my yard, trying to get my yard in order, and little Gabriel was with me, and he was walking around there playing, speaking in tongues. And I just really, truly did enjoy that. He doesn't even understand what he's doing, but he's walked playing there, and all of a sudden he starts speaking in tongues. I didn't say a word, I just listened. And I thought, God, I'm so glad that he does that. I'm so glad, at least, even though the demons are fighting him too, I'm so glad that he has that gift within inside of him. And, you know, every one of our children should be walking around speaking in tongues. Why would they do that? Because the anointing of God is flowing freely. And he always said, I'm so glad when you and I are alone, because I feel different. You know why he feels different when we're alone? Because it's just the Spirit of God in us. It's just us and the Spirit of God. And, you know, he has no hindrances. Nothing's pulling, you know, up, nothing's making those demons that he does carry that we're trying to get rid of, that we are getting rid of. They can't surface because the Spirit of God is so strong. Are you listening here? And see, I've been really seeking God's face about this with you people that have children, and children keep acting up. There's something in you yet that's allowing the spirits in these children to surface and act up. There's still something in you. As a child of God, as a priest in your household, you should have God in you so strong that the enemy cannot come in and torment your children. I'm the first one to say in my house, even though that I have a strong anointing, there's so many demonic anointings in my home that it overrides the anointing of God. But I'm seeking God's face. How do I stop that? You know, how do I stop that so that my children are not tormented when we're in this house? And I think everybody in here should be seeking God's face for the same thing. What is it, maybe in you or in your home, who's bringing the devil in there to torment the people that live in that home? First of all, we have to start with ourselves, make sure we're all right. And then we go from there. Check your own self first. Don't be blaming somebody else. Check your own self first. All right, releasing the subatomic power of praise. We are in a fresh new season of revival that will literally bring a refreshing of power and glory into the nations like never before. You have to know that that is the truth. You have to know that God, the church is going to change so drastically, and God's power is going to be so strong that no devil in hell will be able to stand beside a child of God. If you don't get that in your spirit, then, and you don't believe that, then God can't move through you. And you won't be able to survive, because the darkness is going to get darker. But we're not worried about the darkness, because our light will be so bright, it will dispel all darkness. Are you understanding this? This being understood, we need to know that there is a supernatural power that is released in praise that alters both the physical and non-physical realm, that shifts society and nations when released. This is why I always sit and grin when I see people come in after praise and worship. You just missed all the anointing. It's in praise and worship where the anointing, the praise and worship brings the signs, wonders, and miracles. And I'm going to prove that to you. When the praises go up, the glory comes down. It's that simple. If we are going to see the necessary breakthrough in our personal lives, churches, cities, regions, and nations, then we need to understand the subatomic power of praise. You know, when I had that little lady living with me, and, you know, she was messed up, and when I get in the shower, for some reason, I start singing in the spirit. It just takes me over. And she said she used to walk down the hallway, and she'd stop and she'd be knocked to the floor because the anointing that was coming through the door from me singing in the spirit. And, you know, I never know I'm going to sing in the spirit when I get in the shower, but as I'm washing, you know, God, it just hits me. But she said she got so every time I took a shower, she just come and sit outside the shower, a bathroom door, just so she could feel that anointing. Now, that's powerful, guys. That's really powerful. Sound is an amazing force. Ray Hughes says a pair of 30-inch speakers connected to a tone generator can generate a note low enough to literally physically move a building off its foundation. We are continually in the presence of ultrasonic and subsonic sound waves. This is still what he said. Ultra, meaning above and beyond, are waves above our threshold of hearing, and sub, meaning beneath, are waves beneath our threshold of hearing. Just because we can't physically hear them doesn't mean they don't exist, because they do. Just like you have the special whistles for dogs, only a dog can hear that whistle. You don't hear it. So these sounds do exist. The subatomic power of praise. Praise means to commend, to applaud, or magnify. For the Christian, praise to God is an expression of worship, lifting up and glorifying the Lord. It is an expression of humbling ourselves and centering our attention upon the Lord with heartfelt expressions of love, adoration, and thanksgiving. The flags are powerful when they're used under the anointing. I can tell when even the flag worshiper is not in the right frame of mind, because there's no anointing coming from the flags. So it's really imperative that whenever you're waving flags, that you have yourself right with God, so that the anointing that you're putting out there with the waving of the flag is a holy anointing. High praises bring our spirit into a pinnacle of fellowship and intimacy between ourselves and God. It magnifies our awareness of our spiritual union with the Most High God. The reason why I'm teaching this right now is because during the revival that God is going to bring, you know, all across the land, dropping his glory, it's going to come through praise. And we'll be praising like never before. Praise transports. So if you can't stand our praise and worship service, then you're not going to make it when the glory falls, is what that means, right? Praise transports us into the realm of the supernatural and into the power of God. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. There are many actions involved with praise to God. Verbal expressions of adoration and thanksgiving. Singing, playing instruments, shouting, dancing, lifting or clapping our hands. So you say, if you want to shout, shout. If you want to clap your hands, clap. If you want to jump, jump. Stomp, stomp. You know, all these are expressions of praise. unpretentious praise and worship pleases the Lord. In other words, if you get up here and just from your spirit man just start praising Him, doing whatever you're doing, that pleases God. But whenever you have something already planned, that does not please God. According to Scripture, the various expressions of praise bring blessing to the Lord. He eagerly awaits the fragrance of our affections, desiring to manifest His sweet presence and power in our midst. John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Will you get that song together, Chris Lynch, wherever you're at, so when I'm finished we can play that? Creating a culture of praise. All too often, praise to God is something that many people leave at church, an event that happens only when they come together with other Christians. However, praise should be a part of a believer's lifestyle, intermingled as a part of their daily prayer life. At work in the car, at home in the bed, or anywhere, praise to the Lord brings a refreshing of the Lord's presence along with His power and anointing. You hear that? You should praise. When you're upset, if I was you, I'd go out and ride the tractor or get in my car or do something and just go somewhere and just praise the Lord until that evil spirit that's causing you to be upset is removed. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What did Psalm 31 say? David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David learned from a young boy to praise the Lord. He always praised the Lord no matter what kind of situation he was in. Praise is an expression of faith and a declaration and realization that God is always with us and is in control of the outcome of all our circumstances. See, this is why we get befuddled. We don't believe this. Praise is an expression of faith and a declaration and realization that God is always with us and is in control of the outcome of all our circumstances. Praise is a sacrifice, something that we offer to God sacrificially, not just because we feel like it, but because we believe in Him and wish to please Him. Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, you can walk around and be quietly praising the Lord inside. You know, it doesn't have to be words that you put out. I told you that putting little Isaiah to sleep, sometimes he just doesn't want to go to sleep. That spirit acts up, and so I start singing. And the other day I laid him down, and he started acting up, and I started singing. He said, no, not this time, he said. And he would not let me sing, but he finally fell asleep. So I guess I don't know if that was him or that spirit, but that wasn't going to work this time. But you know, in the Bible, every time Saul got upset, he called for David, right? And David played his harp, wasn't it? And it soothed Saul. So if it happened there, and we're going to read other scriptures, well, why can't it happen here in our lives today? You know, okay, so let's just say your whole household is all upset and carrying on. What's stopping you from going into a corner somewhere and quietly start praising the Lord? And just watch that thing dispel. You ought to try it sometime. It really does work. Sonic vibration. Science confirms that every created thing is made up of sound waves that are constantly spinning at different intervals, forming objects in matter of various densities, both small and great. We also understand sound as a power that when cranked up to a certain level or frequency, it will break or crush glass or break windows in a house. We've all seen that. All sound and color and images are wavelengths that move by vibration and are a power that have substance. Okay? That being said, we need to understand that every attitude carries its own power and vibration, which is recognizable in the realm of the spirit. And what did we say it was? Attitude. It is not just an attitude. It is a force that wraps itself around a person like a coat that continually pulls a person deeper into its power until they are completely overtaken by it, whether for good or bad. Let's read that again, because I think some of us never thought of that. That being said, we need to understand that every attitude carries its own power and vibration, which is recognizable in the realm of the spirit. It is not just an attitude. It is a force that wraps itself around a person like a coat that continually pulls a person deeper into its power until they are completely overtaken by it, whether for good or bad. Every attitude we release is filled with powerful vibrations, wrapping themselves around us like a garment, further enveloping us into a cocoon-like power. So I'm telling you right now, guys, we all have to watch our attitudes. Have you ever been around anybody, you get up in the morning, you're just really happy, 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 and another person gets up and they have an attitude that stinks. Next thing you know, that attitude's all through the house. See, that was a bad attitude, and it wrapped itself around them, and then it vibrated all through the house. Kids can carry the same thing with their attitudes. You can get up really good and happy, and here come the kids. You say, good morning, how are you? Blah, 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 you know, and then they start, and then that their attitude just jumps on you, and it just goes all through your house, all through everybody else that's living in the house. Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be justified and acquitted, set free, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced or condemned. Jesus was saying that the words we wrap ourselves in will either set us free or imprison us here in this life and in eternity to come. Jesus was saying that the words we wrap ourselves in will either set us free or imprison us here in this life and in eternity to come. You know, I used to have this whenever I laid down, you know, the room would start spinning around the ring, and there's it's not vertigo or whatever you call it, it's something else. And I really had that really bad. And I had a minister living above, upstairs, and he had a great healing power. And we was ministering here at the altar one night, and he said, Pastor Barbara, God's told me what that is in you. And he said the word, it's a long word, and he prayed over me, and I haven't had it since. But in the last month, the thing's trying to come back. I said, no, I was healed of this, and I'm not receiving it back. And it goes instantly away. See, the words I speak. Now, I could later say, oh, dear God, no, here it is again. I could have said that and wrapped myself, you know, in that pain all over again. But I'm not going to accept that. Nope. I'm healed of that, and that's not, you're not coming back in my body. And see, this is what each one of you in here have to do. You have to say, nope, I'm healed of that. Or if you've been through deliverance, nope, devil, you're not coming back into this house. You were cast out of here, and you're going to stay out of here. I'm not, you know, let's just say that, I'll just use smoking. You want to smoke, you were a smoker, and God delivered you from smoking, and then here all of a sudden one day you have this terrible urge to smoke again. Say, nope, devil. Instead of going and getting a cigarette, we should say, nope, devil, I was healed. God delivered me from that, and I'm not receiving that desire back again. And just watch it, just same way with gluttony. You know, nope, God delivered me from gluttony, devil, and I don't care. You can tempt me with everything you want to tempt me with, and I'm not going to eat because I'm not eat that. I'm not a glutton. I've already eaten what I'm supposed to eat. You know, wrap yourself in good positive words, in good positive attitudes. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. Praise shatters the enemy. Since praise manifests God's presence, we also know that praise repels the presence of the enemy, which is Satan. An atmosphere that is filled with a sincere worship and praise of God's people will send the enemy running. An atmosphere that is filled with a sincere worship and praise of God's people will send the enemy running. For in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. You know, God told me quite a few years ago that the enemy has stolen your joy. So I had to go back and get my joy back. And how I did that was I just told the devil, nope, you're not going to do this. And nope, you're not going to do that. Nope, nope, nope. You know, until he left. And then the joy of the Lord came back. All right? I mean, you have to do a job too. You can't just sit there and expect God to do all this for you. You have a work to do in this thing too. Satan cannot contend with or find remedy for the all-encompassing presence of God. Satan cannot contend with or find remedy for the all-encompassed presence of God. He must flee. Satan cannot stand the manifest presence of God. Every time the devil encountered the presence of Jesus in Scripture, he immediately recognized and publicly attested to the supreme majesty and power of Jesus Christ, didn't he? Every time. The demons have always begged for mercy from him to not torment them before their time. So it is with us today. As we cultivate an environment of the glory of God through high praises, the enemy will run from us, demons will automatically scatter, sickness and disease will lose their grip as they are demonically induced and will eventually fall away. That's what, you know, God's had us do these jumping and shouting songs for quite a while now. And this is what he's been trying to do. We're forerunners. He's trying to get us to learn to shout and to praise and to glorify him so that the anointing can fall, so that God can do his great signs, wonders, and miracles. Okay, so if you like the real quiet lullabies of God, and I'm not making fun because I like the quiet ones too, that's fine. You listen to those at home, but when you come into the house of God and God is saying, this is what I want you to do, then you have to be obedient to God, obey what he's saying, and don't sit and think, well, I got to sing this song now. No, you do it because you want to do it, because God said, this is what I want you to sing. And, you know, and he wants you to dance and rejoice. He wants the joy of the Lord to rise back up in his body, because if you look at Christians, there's not very many that are happy anymore. So the key is to become a praising people that stops at nothing short of the manifest presence of Jesus Christ in our midst, and the power of the Holy Spirit presence that will drive every inferior dimension of sickness and disease from our midst through the unashamed, uplifted faces of a family of sons and daughters that have full confidence, born out of a pure revelation, that he longs to be with us and dwell in our midst. As he sees us all here just really worshiping him from the very depths of our spirit and really putting our all into it, not pretending. But, well, I don't like that song. Well, sing it anyhow. And don't sing it just because I said sing it anyhow. Say, Spirit man, you're going to enjoy this song and we're going to sing it. And devil, you're not going to stop me from singing this song. Amen. This kind of thinking is dangerous for the devil to see happening in the saints of God. As the presence of God comes, the veil is stripped away and we are being transfigured from one degree of glory and revelation to another by the Lord, who is that Spirit. Isn't that what God's been telling us for years and years? Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, it's through praise that we get changed from glory to glory. If you're always sitting around complaining about what's going on in your life, you're not going to get... I talk about what's going on in my life, but I don't dwell on it. You know, I just praise and thank God that he's making me strong enough to endure whatever I have to endure. And I just praise and thank God that he loves me enough that the enemy isn't working in me, you know, that he's finished in me, and that God's given me the strength to help somebody else be set free. I can chew you out in 1 second and just be laughing and carrying on the next, because, you know, if I'm chewing you out with something you're not doing right, well then, why are you upset after I walk away? You know, why do you cop an attitude? You know, we have meetings still, and you know, Brother Chris said, well, that went well. I said, wait till tomorrow. Then the next day it all hits the fan. They had time to think. I said, what do you mean? I said, they'll think about it tonight, and tomorrow they'll be upset. And it happens every time. See, and we shouldn't be like that. We should be able to talk to one another. We should be able to say, this is what you're doing wrong, you know, or you should be able to say, I don't like this about you, and I'll say, well, too bad. No. No, we should be able to talk to one another and say, you know, this is, you know, you shouldn't be doing it this way. You're not doing it. And we should be able to accept that. We're not going to go to heaven if we can't do that here on earth. Boy, don't ever tell your husband why they're doing something wrong, huh? Because they'll just fly right over top of you, won't they? You might get something smack your throat at you. And see, that's not godly. There's something in you that's not godly is what that's all about. Come on. If you're so easily offended, if we're going to live together, we have to say, hey, you know, this isn't quite right. I was folding some clothes yesterday, and Teresa Ann had this movie on, and this lady was sitting there, and evidently the other girl was having marriage problems. I don't know, but that's what it sounded like anyhow. And she said, you know what I do? The other lady said, you know what I do when this happens? She said, well, she said, I go out on this porch swing, and I sit down, and I think about how we first met and all the wonderful things that happened, you know, when we first met and how we loved each other. And she said, you know, when I'm through with all that, I come back, and what happened doesn't mean anything to me because we still love one another. We're still going to have differences. But I always go back to where we first met and what drew us together. And God, when you, when God says, return to your first love, He's saying, come back to me and be who you were when you first fell in love with me. Remember how we had this good fellowship together. Then all this other stuff won't bother you at all. It'll be just junk. Amen? Not where I'm at. Satan becomes powerless to stop the renewal of the mind and the flow of revelation that comes to transform the person. Well, what I was saying, what I said was, as the presence of God comes, the veil is stripped away, and we are being transfigured from one degree of glory and revelation to another by the Lord who is that Spirit. Then Satan becomes powerless to stop the renewal of the mind and to stop the renewal of the mind. How many times does God say, I want to give you a brand new mindset? And see, if you have that praise going, Satan can't stop him from renewing your mind. But if you don't have that praise going, he'll be in there saying, do you really think he can do that? You know, he'll put all kind of dumb ideas in there. It just starts singing, just start praising, all right? Isn't that how I lost my 40-day fast with my peanut? God, I was 39 days, you know, I had one more day to go, and I love cashews, and I had a cashew sitting there, and I wanted, the devil saying, you really want that cashew? Or I might have been saying it, you really want that cashew? And then the Holy Spirit said, don't eat that. You have one more day to go, you'll lose your blessing. And so I started singing. Overrode the voice of the Lord and ate the cashew. And just as I ate it, God said, now you just missed your blessing. So what I'm getting at here is don't sing and override the voice of the Holy Spirit is what I'm saying. Sing and override the voice of the enemy. Amen. Satan fears the power of the name of Jesus and runs from the presence of the Lord. Psalm 50:23 says, whoso offers praise glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offers praise glorifies me, God. And to him that orders his conversation aright, in other words, we get our words right, then I will show the salvation of God. When the children of Judah found themselves outnumbered by the hostile armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, King Jehoshaphat and all the people sought the Lord for his help. See, that's one thing we don't do. We don't seek to God for our help. We seek everybody else. The Lord assured the people that this would be his battle. He told them to go out. See, that, I think that's what we're afraid of. I think we're afraid that God's going to say, stand still and watch salvation, Lord. This battle is mine and not yours. And you want to get into battle. I really do believe that's why we do that. That just came into my spirit, so I thought I'd say that. The Lord assured the people that this would be his battle. He told them to go out against them. And he would do the fighting for them. See, this is another thing. You said, what does it say here? God told them to go out against them, and he would do the fighting for them. Too many times, we want to confront somebody, and God is saying, don't. Now, if God lays it upon your heart to go and tell somebody something, you have a perfect peace about it. Whenever you say it, that person will be able to receive that, and you won't get any flack from it. All right? Because the battle's God's. And he tells you to stand still until the right opportune time whenever you can speak to that person and they're going to receive what you have to say. I've been wanting to say something to somebody for a year until the other night God opened the door and that was it. I knew in my spirit I could go talk to them. And what I did, they received everything I said. But see, if I knew any other time when I would start to the room to talk to him, nope, can't do that, back up here. Because God wasn't in it. He was fighting this battle for me. And he was taking care of the situation. And he was dealing with the person. So the other night when I talked to him, it was the right time to drop that word into that person. And now God can work with that word. Are you listening here? So what did the children of Judah do? Being a people of praise, Judah actually means praise. And knowing that God manifests his power through praise, they sent their army against their enemies, led by the praisers. Now, if you were going out to fight, say, 2,000 people, and you were the choir, and they said, okay, choir, get in front of the soldiers, you think, oh, dear Lord, right? I'm going to get killed before anybody else does. I think I'm going to drop praise. I'm not going to be in the choir no more, Lord. I'm just going to quit. I think that's what we do, really, when the enemy comes at us instead of us praising. We think, oh, I'm not a praiser today. I don't want to have to face him. So on they went, ahead of the army and declaring, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 20, 22, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. But they had to praise, right? When God's people begin to praise his name, it sends the enemy running. Today, God is challenging you to become a person of praise, and when you do, you will experience a release of the power of God. Today, not tomorrow, this morning, God is challenging you to become a person of praise, and when you do, you will experience a release of the power of God. How many of you, you don't need to raise your hands, but just think, how many of you, there's times you just going maybe in your car or maybe out on sit on outside somewhere, you sit and cried because something terrible was going on in your life. And you sat before the Lord and you said, God, let my weeping be praise unto you, because right now I cannot praise. But I'm being torn apart inside and I really need you to come refresh me. If you sit there long enough, he's going to come and he's going to refresh you, and you're going to be able to get up and go on to face whatever God places before you. Instead of you getting all torn apart and going taking getting on drugs and drinking a drink or whatever you do, smoking a cigarette or go get something out of the refrigerator, you know, all of our little habits, go out and just sit before the Lord quietly. And just if you have to cry, cry. And God said that's a sweet smelling essence unto his nostrils also. And just watch and see what he does for you. Releasing the God sound, Psalm 22:3. But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. Praising God means adoring him, honoring him, and exalting him. And he takes delight in the praise of the saints. That's why we like those songs like Majesty, you know, because we're giving him the glory. We're praising him. You know, God had us in a season where we had to sing about what God was doing with us, because God had to get that in our spirit that he was really working, getting you in with us, and he wasn't against us, but he's working with us. You know, those songs that we sing now, we're singing about how God has come into our mess and he's lifted us up. You know, we have to get that in our spirit. Until we get that in our spirit, we're really not going to know that we have a Father who truly does love and care for us. Some of these songs we sing, I get really excited. I said, devil, just listen to what we're saying. We're saying you come in and you thought, you know, you come in here and you thought you was going to tear us apart, but look what God has done for us. Amen. So now we'll probably go back to now praising the Lord for who he is. See, we have to do, God said you have to sing praises in the seasons he put you in. Amen. So just how many of you just really, whenever you're singing these songs about how God has set you free, you know, no more chains. I mean, how many of you, that really makes you feel good. You're proclaiming to the devil, you don't have me no more. I'm free. I'm just really free. And I'm just not going to come back into your camp. And you sure can't come into mine. Amen. Where am I at? To praise. To praise is to commend the worth of, express approval of, or admiration of. Well, okay, let's go. Okay, we said to praise is to commend the worth of, express approval of, or admiration of. Of all the weddings I've done, every time I've done a wedding, you know, either the woman or the man wants a song where they can just tell the other maid how wonderful they are. So if we can praise each other that way, why can't we praise the Lord? Amen. Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless him. When we walk through that door, we're supposed to come in, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I came through the door and said, why is the trash can not emptied? Why is the table dirty? I didn't come through the door saying, hallelujah. See, I should be able to do that. I shouldn't have had to see a dirty trash, filled up trash can and a dirty table. But you guys don't, you know, you're not running the church, so you should come through the door saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to, too, because I'm going to whip these people into shape. Amen. Come on. God's house should be a house of glory. We should always come into the presence of God with praise and thanksgiving. God lives in the midst of our praises. He doesn't live in the midst of our frustrations. He doesn't live in the midst of our negativity. He lives in the midst of our praises. If you want God to come close, praise him. Maybe I should have come and said, well, praise God, the trash can's full. Praise God, there's coffee and hot chocolate all over the table. He might have cleaned it up himself, right? How many of you do that at home? So you wives, you go in, your husband's made a mess in the kitchen. You say, oh, jeez. Then instead of saying, well, I've done that. I said, well, it's not Larry. He doesn't do that. But I say, well, God, I just thank you that I have power and strength to go ahead and clean up behind somebody else. And I just go ahead and clean it up. You know, what's the sense of getting all bent out of shape about it, right? It puts you in stress and makes you fat. You need to use praise in every situation in your life. Look at the kids, did they? Larry has a pet peeve. Whenever Gabriel pees, he doesn't lift the seat and he pees on the seat. And I'm saying, and he can really get irate about that. I said, just wipe it off. And you know, now, so I said, Gabriel, please lift the seat. Please don't pee in the seat. I don't want to hear it pop up fuss. And then next time he goes, he does it even more. It's to hear him fuss. You know? So see, with Larry now, if he would just learn, just not say nothing, just clean up, I can guarantee you Gabriel would never pee in that seat again. But the devil inside of Gabriel says, I know what to push. I know what button to push on him. So I'll pee on the seat. This is serious stuff, guys. About God just showed me all this as I'm teaching, to tell you the truth. This is really serious stuff. We need to learn to praise. Well, there he goes, shouting at the kid again. Praise the Lord. Bring the angels in here and shut his mouth. We're just going to praise you while this is all going on. And don't do it dumbfounded. Do it stupid. Just be sincere about it and praise the Lord. Remember the power that was released from heaven with Paul and Silas in Acts 16:25. Paul cast the spirit of divination out of a woman of Thyatira. And when her master saw that they would no longer make gain from her, they caught Paul and Silas and brought them before the rulers. And when they had beaten them, they cast them in prison. And Paul and Silas weren't doing anything bad, were they? But about midnight, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundations of the prisons were shaken. And at once, all the doors were open and everyone's shackles were unfastened. Through what? Praise and worship. Paul and Silas understood what it took to change their circumstances. We don't understand yet what it takes to change your circumstance. Praise and worship. Praise and thanksgiving released a floodgate of power from the unseen realm of glory that manifested in the natural. That power created an earthquake that shook the very foundation of the prison and resulted in everyone's shackles falling off. Everyone's, just not Paul and Silas, but see, their praise blessed everybody in the prison. Your praise will bless everybody in the house. Your frustrations will bind up everybody in the house. Your negative speaking will bind up everybody around about you. But your praise does the opposite, sets them free. Praise produced a sonic wave of God sound. I'm going to stop there for today, I think. But I want to do this one more. The stones cry out. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people gathered to praise God for all the great miracles they had seen Jesus perform. The religious leaders were there as well and demanded that the people stop praising. Who were there? The religious people. I've always told you when I first started the church, I'd come into the church and sanctuary and everybody would be talking and laughing. I said, be quiet. This is the house of God. You should reverence God. And sit still and be quiet. And one day God said, will you please let them laugh and have a good time? It's my house. That's what they should be doing in my house. So I said, okay, everybody can laugh and talk all you want. God said, it's okay. But see, that was a religious spirit in me. I was taught, as little up, when you go in the house of God, you stand and shut up, and you don't say a word till you leave again. A religious spirit. So how many of you have religious spirits that you have to get rid of? Mindsets that are not from God. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people gathered to praise God for all the great miracles they had seen Jesus performed. The religious leaders were there as well and demanded that the people stop praising. Jesus said, if these people keep silent, the very stones will cry out in praise. Luke 19:35, then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. They're talking about the colt they brought to Jesus. And as Jesus went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. See, if we're disciples of God, if we would just all together rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works we have seen, you just don't know what God will do. Saying, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Who did it? The Pharisees. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones have ears and memory and will cry out. Before entering into the promised land, Joshua recounted the covenant between the people and their Lord. Joshua 24:26. I think that's neat to know that the stones have ears and they'll cry out. You know that song, the trees of the field, they clap their hands. Joshua 24:26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was in the court of the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, see, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words the Lord spoke to us, so it shall be a witness against you, lest afterward you lie or pretend and deny your God Jehoshaphat's victory through praise. See, he was telling him, you know, this stone was sitting right here when all this was said. And this stone heard every word that we said. And it's going to be a witness against them if they say that isn't what was said. I'm going to put a stone in my house. Just joking. Well, we have a stone here. A great multitude came against Jehoshaphat to battle, and he set himself to seek God and proclaimed a fast. God heard and answered in 2 Chronicles 20:15. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye out against them. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. If we could all just get that down into our spirit, this is not our battle. It's the battle belongs to the Lord. And if we just learn to praise him and pull down his glory through our praise and give him the opportunity to take care of the situation that's going on in our lives. 2 Chronicles 20:21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy priestly garments as they went out before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were self-slaughtered. Self-slaughtered. You give the enemy enough rope and he'll hang himself. You know that, don't you? He really will. The Ru shout. The Hebrew word Ru, R-U-A-H, which is the very breath of God, can also be translated shout. It is the same word used in Psalm 101 and Psalm 95:1, and translated shout joyfully and make a joyful noise. Other meanings include battle cry, shout of triumph, and sound an alarm. Ru was used to denote any shout of joy or praise. In fact, in public worship, it would denote praise of the most animated kind, which always required a body function. One of those words is the word shabak, which means to shout in a loud address or tone. Whenever we sing, the walls are coming down, we say, the walls are coming down, the walls are coming down. And I'm thinking, where's the shout? Where's the shout? Whenever we say the walls are falling down, we should give a shout. Isn't that what they did in the Bible? Come on. You're just singing words. God told me they're just singing words. They don't even know what they're even singing. You're just singing words. You don't understand what you're even saying. If you're saying, I am free, no more chains on me, you should be whooping and carrying on. Flinging your arms and feet around. No more chains on you, holding you bound anywhere. And if the walls are falling down around about you, then shout. You know, God told Alan one time, stomp seven times or something like that. Or three. I don't know. He would tell him to stomp. How many times he stomped? Not many. He's standing right there behind me, and I'm thinking, you should be stomping. Come on. I'm free. Stomp. No more chains. Stomp. You know what I'm saying? Come on. God told, that was your weapon, was praising and stomping. The priests blew the trumpets. The people raised a great shout of triumph and praise and praise. God's presence and power came down, and the walls of Jericho fell flat. Who was it? The guy up in Newark. Gary Whetstone. He said he was broke, and he heard how you need to stomp on the devil's head. So he said he took his wallet out of his pants and put it on the floor and danced over his wallet and destroyed the works of the enemy in it, and from the enemy in his wallet. From then on, he was a wealthy man. But he had to do it, an action. He had to stomp in his wallet and say the enemy was defeated and called God into his finances. All right? When the praise went up, the presence came down. It's interesting to note that it is the very breath of God, Ruh, that comes to the mouths of his people in the shout. He is the very breath. You know, and I never used to shout. And I've been shouting a lot lately, and I didn't know why until I was reading this. When we shout, unto God is literally God's breath and sound that are being exhaled into the atmosphere. Every created living thing recognizes a God sound, vibration, and response. Have you ever noticed when somebody does shout in a room, you look around to see what they're doing? You want to get your attention, doesn't it? Well, don't you think it gets God's attention too? A great vibration in heaven. Wow, you know, that's so disorderly, religious. Get rid of your religious demon. A great vibration in heaven. When heaven shouts in praise, the angels and spiritual creatures, the saints who have gone before us and formed a great cloud of witnesses, their combined God sound is like a mighty roar, like the boom of many pounding waves. Can you imagine what it sounds like in heaven with all those angels? Probably the people shouting too. This shout in heaven actually creates a vibration, a sound wave, that when it collides with the natural realm, shakes the very foundations of the earth. That could be earthquakes, right? Come on. Now this you have to, you have to hear this. Now listen, now read that, okay? The Tanzania shout. In 2008, this is a young man, I didn't write his name down. I took a team with me to Tanzania, Africa, for a global fire crusade. I had done many crusades, but this one was going to be different. We were expecting a crowd of nearly 100,000, and we were all excited. We planned to be in Tanzania after the rainy season to assure success, so our team was pumped and ready. Don't get pumped up. Just go spirit-filled. On the first night of the five-night crusade, few people had shown up, not the more than 3,000. Toward the end of 3 hours of worship, monsoon-looking rain clouds began to appear. Suddenly, the rain poured down. I noticed black ravens flying overhead as people were scrambling to pick up their belongings and children to run for cover. I said to myself, somebody is praying, and it's not the Christians. We need to have that attitude. Without thinking, I screamed into the microphone, not on my crusade, and commanded the rain clouds to stop in Jesus' name. You know, well, why don't we do that? As quickly as these monsoon clouds rolled in, they left. That night we had a crusade and many great miracles happened. People gave their lives to Jesus Christ as kingdom power and authority was manifesting. Come on. Why don't you say, you're not going to rain on my parade, devil? Have the Spirit of God in you when you say it, so your words are spirit-filled, and whenever they hit the devil in the face, he has to back down. The Lord told me on the first night of the crusade, Jeff, if you can get the, you know, so his name was Jeff, if you can get the people to give me a shout of praise each night, I will do great miracles. From now on, you're all going to give me a shout of praise, all right? So before I preached, I would get the people to release a shout of praise in the crowd that when released was like a sonic wave of sound that went up into the heavens and returned like a supernatural sonic boom upon the people, resulting in mass miracles. I barely had time to preach. Are you listening here? As a praise, I was going to have Chris do that this morning. He said, I'm saying, well, good morning. Are you glad to be here? Well, let's just stand up for prayer now. Now that he would never get a shout out. Amen. So I thought I'd do the teaching first. As the praises went up, the glory came down. I'm not fussing with him because I need a praise and worship leader, and he's not a praise and worship leader. He's a follower praise and worship leader, but he's not a praise and worship leader. Because the praise and worship leader is really anointed to get you going. Amen? You do good, though. For no pay, you do really good. As the praises went up, the glory came down. People were getting up out of their wheelchairs. Just from a shout, guys, before he started preaching. I saw tumors dissolving, blind eyes opening, crippled children walking. It was amazing. And after they got healed, they would give their lives to Jesus. After they got healed. Each night as we shouted, biblically typed miracles would occur and the crowds would grow as word spread throughout the city. So if we start shouting and the miracles start flowing, the word's going to go out. By the fifth night, approximately 80,000 people crowded the soccer field. It was a beautiful night in Tanzania. The sun was just setting over the horizon, casting a shadow on the mountains in the background. As I stood up to preach, I heard the Lord say to me, Jeff, you better hurry up. I asked, what do you mean, Lord? As I looked over the crowd of people, I saw flaming lights coming from around each side of the large mountain. I heard the Lord say to me again, I've got the Holy Spirit. Jeff, you better hurry up. I could see through the eyes of my spirit chariots of fire descending from around the mountain coming toward the people. I hurried the people to their feet and said, tonight Jesus Christ is going to do great miracles, but first we're going to give him a shout of praise. The Lord told me if I could get these Muslim people to give him praise, he would do great miracles. People who had received miracles from the previous nights brought their families and friends as the spreading of reports of the many miracles drew their attention to curiosity. Most knew the drill. I heard the people to stand in the soccer field, and on the count of three with the band, we released a corporate shout of praise to Jesus Christ. As we did, those angelic chariots of fire descended upon the people, resulting in mass deliverance. People dropped to the ground under the power of heaven as devils manifested. I had never seen anything like this in my life. This region was a satanic hotbed of ritualistic activity, and many were being instantly delivered. The city elders told me they have had many great evangelists and hosted many crusades, but never had they seen these kinds of miracles from a first-time evangelist. Thousands were instantly healed and immediately responded to salvation. We need a drummer that can do a drum roll and give us a big bang, and then we need to shout before we start praise and worship, right? Well, if that didn't get you going, nothing's going to get you going. You must have had a bucket of water on your fire already. Amen. Praise is one of the highest weapons a believer possesses. Through praise, battles have been won and nations conquered. David wrote in Psalm 149:6, let the high praises of God be in their throats and a two-edged sword in their hands to wreak vengeance upon the nations and chastisement upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. He, the Lord, is the honor of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth, not the low praises. High praises are the release of thanksgiving and honor given directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we give him the glory due his name and begin to sing directly to him instead of about him, he comes with all of his glory. Might be time to change our praise and worship. As the high praises are in our mouths, the double-edged sword is automatically in our hands to wreak vengeance upon nations, punishment upon enemies, to bind kings, demonic with chains and fetters, and to execute judgment. For the Lord is the honor of all his saints. When the praises go up, the glory comes down, and every enemy of the saints is rendered powerless. Did you hear that? Every enemy of the saints is rendered powerless. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack must all bow to the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The joyful sound. David wrote about many types of praise, including high praise and joyful sounds. These are not just nice descriptive words. They are powerful in Psalm 89:15. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessing symbolized by the feast. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, their proud adornment, and by your favor our horn is exalted, and we walk with uplifted faces. All through praise. Blessed are those who know the joyful sound. What is a joyful sound? It is a sound of high praise that brings the transforming glory of God. In the joyful sound, God's friends rejoice all day long. For the Lord is their strength, and they can walk with their faces lifted toward him with no shame. The enemy cannot touch the warring, praising saint. For his attention is on the loveliness and sweet attractiveness of the Lord, and they walk in the light of the glory of God. No devil can follow you there. In other words, when you're in deep praise and worship to the Lord, the devil cannot go there because he can't stand that. With our attitudes, we are constantly attracting one of two kingdoms, either the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. All too often, we are looking for some kind of super spiritual answer or remedy to deliver us from our condition when all we need to do is simply worship and praise our way through it. The cloak of thanksgiving, that's the end of it then. Isaiah prophesied to a generation that was yet to come. Isaiah 61:3, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's us, guys. The Hebrew word for garment here is M-A-T-T-A-H, which means to wrap oneself in or to veil oneself. So when we get to praise, we wrap ourselves in God. When we choose to put on the garment of praise, we begin to wrap ourselves in the power and light of that garment, which destroys the spirit of heaviness. The Hebrew word for praise is H-A-L-L-A-L, which means to shine forth with sound and color. When we begin to praise, we shine with light and color and sound. So when we choose to praise, we wrap ourselves in a supernatural garment of power and light which flows with an unstoppable force that destroys the spirit of heaviness. When we choose to be thankful, we are filled with light, and depression, sadness, and despair from the demonic realm are cut off. Boy, if we would only have learned to praise earlier, we would not be in the boats that we're in right now. I'm hoping that this teaching on the praise, the subatomic power of praise, will help each one of you in here today to get into a higher realm with God, to defeat the enemy. Instead of him defeating you, you defeat the enemy. And, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in each one of our lives, but if you really look, it's whenever you just go on and praise the Lord, say, God, this is your battle, not mine. And thank God it is yours, because I'd like to kill somebody right now, right? I'm just going to praise you and thank you for all that you're doing. And you know what? You find out that that thing just goes away. It just disappears. It goes away. Why? Because you praise the Lord and you untied his hands and he was able to come into your situation and get the mess straightened up. See, I have three kids at the house 5 days a week. So one day I said, God, I just praise you and I thank you. There's only three and not seven. I thank you and praise you. You love me so much you didn't put seven in my life. Small kids. I learned to praise him. And you know what? The kids don't act up as much. So what? You know what? Thank you, God. You didn't give me 20. You only gave me seven. I praise and thank you for what you gave me because you know how much strength I have and you'll give me strength to go ahead and take care of these. I thank you, God, you gave me this bullheaded husband. He's so wonderful, and you're so wonderful, and you're so powerful. And I just praise you that you're in him, and you're working through him. So I said, oh, dear God, why'd you ever tie me to this lump? Just praise him for what you have. I mean, isn't this what we do? We do this all the time. Come on. You know, God just put that in her. I wouldn't speak like that normally. But, you know, this is what we do. We don't praise God for what we have. And therefore, God doesn't have any ammunition to change. And he has to go with our negative words. And so what he does is walk away because he won't be around negativity. And so we just have to praise him for what we have. And when my family gets to complaining in my house, I say, you ought to just thank God you have a roof over your head. You know, that you're not swimming in water every morning or something. That some, you know, that you're on out there underneath a palm tree with nothing over your head. Instead of complaining, praise Him for what you have because you have everything you need. I've noticed people that have everything they need complain because they always want more. All right, so you know you have to shout. Every time you come in here before we start praising, we have to shout, right? So get your shout ready tonight. And we're going to shout and bring the anointing and the glory down. And you know, maybe if we just learned to shout earlier, maybe the people coming here with sicknesses wouldn't have left still sick. I mean, I know God's moving mightily. I know the anointing is heavy, but I know He wants it to be a whole lot heavier. And I know He's not pleased with what we're doing right now. I know that He wants us to learn to shout. I know He wants us to learn to just to enjoy life. I said last night, I was talking to somebody, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, you can either die with that person or you can live with that person and learn to live yourself. I said, right now you're slowly dying and you're only, 30-some years old. And that person's 50-something, and you're dying with that person. I said, no, that is stupid. I said, I made up my mind. I'm not going to die with anybody. I'm going to live. And I'm going to be joyful and happy. You want to sit over here in this molly grub and in this pigsty, and you want to complain and moan and groan all the time and be negative, you go ahead, but I'm not coming there to join you. I'll invite you over to my realm, but I'm not coming over to yours because I know that my Father loves me. And I know that He takes care of me. And I know He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. And I've seen what the devil's done for you. And I don't want your Father. Everybody, and you should think that way. I don't want your Father. I want my Father in heaven who is always with me, who always abides with me, and always keeps me in the palm of His hand. Amen. I didn't say we wouldn't suffer, but even in our suffering, God's daughter, every time you've been in the valley, I was right there holding your hand, walking you through it. If we could even get that in our spirit, we would praise when we're in the valley. Are you listening? Knowing, okay, God, you had a reason to put me in this valley, and you're here with me. You didn't put me down there by myself, but you're here with me. Hold my hand, walking me through this, so I can still praise you in the midst of all this junk. You guys are learning stuff I wish I'd have known 50 years ago. So I want you to take what you're learning and I want you to put it in your spirit, man. And I want you to start using it and I want you to quit your complaining and just praise Him. I don't have no car. Well, praise Him. You might get one. You know? Well, I'm broke. Well, praise Him. He might put a $20 bill in your pocket. You don't know what God, can do until you give Him the opportunity to do it. I'm not going to the house of God because I'm bound. Hey, well, you know, go in the house of God, you might be set free. You never know what God's going to do until you untie His hands. So if you want God to, if you want to untie God's hands, He wants you to get up here right now, throw up your hands and surrender everything you have and own to Him. And He, your thoughts, wishes, dreams, everything to Him. And just let Him go ahead and He said if you want to give Him a shout when you come up, you can give Him a shout too. But He wants to drop a special anointing upon you today that you're not going to complain. You're going to get out of that complaining mode and you're going to get into the praising mode. Come on, just receive it. Come on. It's just...